If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. And right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, the innovator of violence, the landlord of the House of Hardcore, we found him. Tommy Dreamer is with me, and we get into Sunday's Royal Rumble. Also, we get into potential surprises. And of course, that has a heated debate between Tommy and I about the possibility of Sting and Undertaker at WrestleMania 36. Also, we get into AEW with Chief Brandy Officer Brandy Rhodes talking about AEW coming to New Jersey and also the Jericho Cruise. And we talk to Nick Aldis, your NWA World Heavyweight Champion, the National Treasure. All that right now on the Busted Open Podcast. We're getting you ready for the Royal Rumble, and this is kind of the time. It's Friday. We're 2 days away from the Rumble, so it's kind of like prediction time.
We got SmackDown tonight. Things can change. They could tell us, hey, at least maybe another five women who are going to be in this Rumble for that part. Mm-hmm. My question I would say to you, and then maybe we'll hit out the nation, what matchup do you think you would want to see for WrestleMania for who to win the Royal Rumble?
It's a great question, because I totally agree with what you said before. Since you have Brock Lesnar as that first entrant, this can only go two ways. One where Brock runs the table, and then you're going to see Bray Wyatt go up against Brock, which I don't think is a match anybody really wants to see.
And then I don't know if that could happen, especially with the whole Fox being, you know, giving them a whole lot of money.
Yeah, I think you probably do need the one champion representing Raw and one champion representing SmackDown.
And Brock had left Fox already to go to Raw, remember that?
Yeah, so, I mean, unless they have something planned where they both shows want Brock, who knows? But I think it would take away a lot of the programming if they did do that. But I think most likely whoever wins this year's Royal Rumble is going to go after Brock Lesnar and that WWE championship. So, that being said, I think it's either going to be somebody who is returning. That's a possibility. But I would like to see one of two people, and that's Aleister Black or Drew McIntyre.
Ooh, I like it. And who would you like to see as a surprise?
With all the scuttlebutt, I would love to see Edge.
Is there Edge scuttlebutt still?
There's still some Edge scuttlebutt. Okay. You are talking to me, Tommy, and we are getting close to WrestleMania.
Don't do it. Put it down. Oh, he's doing it.
The hand cup, my friend.
I don't know which I hate more, your stupid fat head or your hand cup.
You love my fat head, and you enjoy the hand cup, and let me tell you why. Because I would love to see this lead to the matchup that we have never seen and always wanted to.
The Fiend versus Undertaker. I just blew your mind.
I think we saw that at WrestleMania. Though it wasn't The Fiend, we did see Bray Wyatt and The Undertaker right at WrestleMania 31. And maybe does set that up. But I think everybody wants to see The Undertaker and Sting. Now, Undertaker and Sting being surprise entrants to the Royal Rumble, setting up a match at WrestleMania. Undertaker, as we all know, that interview with Stone Cold Steve Austin on the network, he said he's near the end of the road, but he's not quite there yet. Pretty good last match for The Undertaker. And Sting, obviously we saw in that documentary that you really enjoyed on the WWE Network, he still wants that one more match. So why not give it to Sting to validate his career as an icon and a Hall of Famer? Sting and Undertaker at WrestleMania 36.
Not bad. I think that's more
not
of a,
bad.
I think it's more of a great Saudi match. Oh, or, no. Hey, let me, hey, calm down. You know what? Or I would like to say That would be a hell of a match to Phyllis Stadium at Minute Maid Park. Dave just left. So now we had the... He just walked out on the show.
Just leave.
No, really quick. Really quick. Before we get to the Busted Open Nation and before Alex has an aneurysm.
I think the Saudi Arabia audience would appreciate that more than the audience here in the United States.
It's WrestleMania time.
I get it. However, I also feel that would have been a great match for something like this, the Royal Rumble, to fill out a stadium. Think about this card. If they would have did Andrade with Zelina Vega and Rey Mysterio in a ladder match, Undertaker versus Sting, and the two Royal Rumbles, that will sell you one hell of a stadium for a Royal Rumble. For a WrestleMania, we expect a lot more.
Sting and the Undertaker. Last match ever for both Sting and Undertaker at WrestleMania 36. You're going to, for all this anticipation, decades and decades of people wanting this to be the ultimate fantasy matchup, and you're going to put it in a desert?
Is this the first time he ever walked out on the show, ever?
That might have been the first time I walked out
on the
show,
I'm talking back
ever.
To like the Doug Mortman years.
You
took off your headset and walked off. And on me, of all people. For your closest ally.
I love you. Sam Roberts was sitting in the same seat that you're sitting in 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And he said the exact same thing. That would be great for the greatest Royal Rumble in Saudi. I thought it was the shittiest thing I've ever heard on this show. And then Tommy, you, the icon of icons, the landlord of the House of Hardcore, the innovator of violence, the guy who eats coffee beans out of an ashtray
in Mexico,
just repeated the same thing that a WWE shill said 2 days ago.
Listen, I don't think...
I'm going to start drinking on the show.
I don't think the fans want to see that matchup at a WrestleMania anymore. It's past its prime. It really is.
Does The Undertaker have one last match in him?
Yes.
Do you think that Sting, with his Hall of Fame career, and a man that when he tries to go to bed at night, he has trouble falling asleep because he knows he didn't have that one match that he deserves, because it didn't happen at Starrcade with Hogan, it didn't happen with Triple H at WrestleMania 31, that he wants to have that one match that everyone wants to see. He wants to have the one match that validates his career. He doesn't want to end with that match against Seth Rollins where he got injured. He wants that one validated match. Do you think that Sting deserves that one last match?
Deserves, yes.
Okay, so you're not going to do it with those two icons together in a, you know what, last time ever career-ending match for both of the greatest characters and icons in this business. And you're going to put it at the greatest Royal Rumble in Saudi on a random 3 o'clock afternoon on the WWE Network.
That or a stadium show like we have coming up, the Royal Rumble. Don't you think my card that I just booked literally in 30 seconds is way better than the card that is booked today? Sting and the versus The Undertaker. Two Royal Rumble matches, men and women, and Rey Mysterio versus Andrade in a ladder match.
Tommy.
Don't you think that's better?
Yes, but Tommy, okay. It's not happening.
Do you think that
the Royal
you
Rumble
can't
Sunday,
have a Royal
Sting
Rumble?
Sting and Undertaker are not booked for Sunday. It's not
well,
happening
they might
at the
be.
Royal Rumble.
I don't think that match is good for WrestleMania. No, I do not. If the streak never went away, absolutely. Absolutely that match should have happened.
Oh, my God. I thinking about it gives me chills. The gong, here comes The Undertaker, last time ever. And then Sting with the makeup and the icon Sting.
Did you see Eli Manning's last game? I'm asking you a question.
I did.
Did you see Tom Brady's last game in the playoffs this year?
Yes.
Do you like to see aging quarterbacks?
No.
Okay. Would you like to see two men who are aging, and this has nothing to do with like their what they did in the past, because you know what Tom Brady has done for football, The Undertaker has done for the WWE. I am the biggest Undertaker fan. I wanted to be Sting as when I started coming up. I want to be everything like those guys. I am an older wrestler who's 48 years old. I need a younger wrestler to still make me look like I'm Tommy Dreamer sometimes. I just wrestled Ace Austin in Mexico City for 20 minutes where I was sucking wind because the elevation was so high and I needed ladders, chairs. I did Tommy Dreamer. It was like a best of Tommy Dreamer because I needed that. I can't hang with a Ace Austin in a regular wrestling match at times, especially in Mexico City, or with all the injuries I've incurred, or, you know, these guys have had surgery. Sting has, you know, he could have, when that happened to him, he said, I have this thing where I could, hey, I take a bad bump, I'm not going to walk ever again. You know, when I have to swallow, I have to turn my head so the food goes down now. I'm worried to go to a doctor because I don't want the thing that happened to William Regal where he said his windpipe was closing. These are older wrestlers. I'm 48. They're in their both in their mid-50s. And you want to see them go out like that. Did you think Roman Reigns versus The Undertaker was all that great?
I didn't think it was bad.
Did you think it was all that great? Because you're going to have such high expectations versus Sting and The Undertaker, where they will be appreciated for their hard work in Saudi Arabia more than the fans sitting at a WrestleMania. Or then forget about social media, where respect just gets thrown out the window. I'm talking about that.
I think that The Undertaker and Sting.
He looks like a dejected Sam boy.
Can I say something?
And you're talking about people that I seriously
love. I'm about to cry.
All right.
I'm about to cry. Because what you're saying is so true. And it's heartbreaking. But The Undertaker wants another go at it. And Sting wants another go at it. I'm not asking for a 25, 30-minute Mac Classic here.
I understand a
5-minute greatest hits and
but
out.
Then they're just, I don't know if it would be 5 minutes greatest hits and out. Because then it's WrestleMania. The entrance alone, dude, is fabulous. The entrance for both guys. But I just don't think WrestleMania is the show of shows. You know, do you think anybody today would have wanted to see maybe this top matchup of Tom Brady versus Drew Brees, two quarterbacks that are in their 40s? Or they would love the story of it, but not all in real life or in wrestling. What was the last greatest? Shawn versus Ric Flair? Ric Flair versus Undertaker? I'm talking about, you know, when we saw Triple H, his performance at Saudi Arabia when he tore his bicep or his pec.
Yeah.
That match was DX versus Kane the Undertaker. The live crowd was loving it. But when you're watching, you're like, oh, these guys are getting on in years. If it would have been, you know what I would love to see today? DX. We can't because Billy Gunn's not there. But DX versus maybe what's his name in NXT? Adam Cole, baby.
He's good. Disputed Era.
That type of stuff, that mixture, or just a face-off. You have to understand there are some limitations that wrestlers, you know,
get. I get it. I think that, you know, Mark saw Sting. Mark Henry was saying how he saw Sting, and he said he was in amazing condition. We saw The Undertaker with Stone Cold. He looks like he's in great physical shape. One last ride.
Physical shape is different than being in ring shape.
I get it. And listen, if they can't do it, then I don't want to.
Seth Rollins versus Sting, great. Seth Rollins versus The Undertaker, great. Undertaker versus Fiend, great. Undertaker and Sting versus two guys. I would love to, again, not WrestleMania. I would love to see if friggin' Seth Rollins' group, if that continues, you get all these, the older veterans, if he says, this is my show, this will always be my show, disrespects the veterans, here comes Undertaker, here comes Sting, here comes Triple H, here comes Kane, we have all these guys lined up, you get this one, oh my God, it's the old guard versus the new guard, and then you could break that off into a Sting versus an Undertaker. With a miscommunication, Sting punches Undertaker or something, that would be great. Well, there is a contribution for older wrestlers. I see it in Impact Wrestling. I also see it in the demographics for ratings. But do you think, and I love the guy, and he looks in great shape. He physically can't, Ken Shamrock, he can't lift his arms past his shoulders because of years of wrestling. Don't you think there's a reason why we had him with Moose? Don't you think we have him wrestling Sammy Callahan or Madman Fulton? Would anyone want to see Tommy Dreamer versus Ken Shamrock?
I would.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Let's go out to Brandi Rhodes, Chief Brandi Officer with AEW. How are you this morning?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good after hearing that. That was a lovely serenade. I honestly, I'm so disoriented from travel and everything this week that I heard that song playing and I was going, where do I know that song from? And I realized it's my song.
That should be, you got to tell Tony Khan, you got to do a remake. You could put Cody in there too with his name. Oh man, that'd be fabulous. Just walk into the ring to that. That's some powerful music right there.
I don't know if
it could be, we could have something with that.
I don't know if people, when they hear that song, Tommy, they say, wow, that's powerful music.
Really? Yeah, well, it all depends on who does it, a la Terry Funk coming out.
100%. It's very powerful. It's very powerful. It's Looking Glass.
She has a swagger
and confidence
coming to that room.
I didn't hear anything you just said, Tommy, because Brandi threw out the Looking Glass. One hit wonder, Looking Glass.
There you go.
Amazing. And, you know, speaking of amazing, Tommy, a lot of amazing things happening with AEW. They're going to be coming to the tri-state area, the Prudential Center in Newark, which is like the hottest ticket in town in New Jersey right now. And then, Brandi, I know you were just a keynote speaker at the National Association of Television Program Executives Conference. So a lot going on with you, even outside of what's going on TV every single Wednesday.
Yeah, it's a busy time, but it's a really good time. I'm excited for everything that's coming up. Like you said, I just had a great time at NATP this past week. That was our first keynote as a company, as AEW. So it was a big responsibility, but we got it done, and it was really well received. So I'm really happy and looking forward to hopefully giving some more keynotes coming up.
And I believe the tickets for the Prudential Center go on sale today. So that's going to be exciting.
Yeah, so we're pretty much just firing people up. Hopefully, you know, everybody that's listening is getting ready, standing by their computers, getting ready to find out, you know, what section they're going to end up in, what seats they're going to end up in. That's always the fun part.
And, you know, Dave and I are talking about the Royal Rumble and how there's not a big feel to it, but AEW events and AEW coming to Newark, there is a big, I live in the town, there is a big buzz about AEW finally coming up here north, and that's to all the hard work of the men and women in AEW, and plus the excitement that an AEW event, especially with television, generates. And man, it's going to be, you know, they're going to sell out. I know it.
Yeah, and I know for myself, because I, obviously everyone who listens to this show knows I'm from Jersey. Everyone's talking about them coming to New Jersey because this is like the first like really East Coast hit this close to New York City. And I'm glad that it's in Jersey, and I'm glad it's in an arena like the Prudential Center, because we had Cody on last week and he main evented the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view there. So I think even though it's only been open for a short time, it's known for wrestling. There's a little bit of history there. So I'm sure, Brandi, you're excited about coming to Jersey.
Oh, yeah. The Prudential Center's great. It's just a great venue, and it's a great location. You know, like you said, we haven't made it up that way yet. So being able to make that the first impact that we make is just really, really cool. Especially, I mean, I'm no stranger to the Prudential Center. I've been there many times. And it's always a good feeling when you get to go to one of these buildings that you've been to before in a completely different capacity. Now with AEW, it's just like we walk into some of these arenas and it's just like, I remember that that's where we used to do this, and this was where, you know, I did this, and this is where I would go to cry. No, I'm just kidding. it's really cool to kind of be coming full circle to some of these awesome venues.
And there is no crying in AEW because
crying in AEW.
Talent has been given the platform to shine, and pretty much with no limits. And that's what I think the fans love the most about it. And it signifies with, you know, the ratings as well as now even the bigger news that, hey, this is going to be here for a while. Can you tell us about, I guess, the behind the scenes when that announcement happened of the, you know, what was going on when all that stuff was going on when they said, hey, we're re-signing you very, very early to a four-year deal?
It actually happened so quickly. Usually negotiations take quite some time, and, you know, we'll hear some buzzings about different things being discussed, and then, you know, we revisit a few weeks later. But honestly, it was like one day we were hearing, hey, this is being discussed, you know, keep on your toes. And then, you know, I work with the PR team closely, so we got the go to put together a press release like the next day. And I was like, oh, wow, this actually has already happened. This is amazing. So, yeah, it was really just exciting and kind of fun to not know all of the details up front, because we got to celebrate it with the athletes. You know, usually the executive team knows everything ahead of time, but we kind of all were finding this out all at the same time. So it was just really a cool celebratory moment for everybody.
Brandy, just for your background, because I don't remember it. I know you went, I graduated in international business and a minor in law. What were your college background again?
So communications and broadcast journalism.
Nice.
So, yeah, I'm very qualified to speak to you like this as an expert communicator.
No, but here's the beauty of you, and I don't know if you appreciate it as much as I do, because, you know, for me being part of ECW, you come under fire learning so many different aspects of the business. And, you know, from WWE, you come in developmental. It's like, hey, I want to be a wrestler. And then it's like, well, you're going to be an announcer. You're going to be, you know, whatever it is. And then AEW, you wear, and JR was the one, wearing so many different hats in the wrestling business makes you so valuable. And, you know, besides the, and I love the chief brandy officer, that's truly what you are, because any task, and a lot of, you know, the guys and girls in Impact, anything that's given to them, hey, go out there, wrestle, hey, go out there, but you can do, not a lot of people can do that, but you can. And that's, you know, kudos to you, especially at the young age that you are in.
Oh, we're still calling me young?
You are.
That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, no, you're right. I'm actually really grateful that I've had as many experiences as I have in wrestling, because I really do feel like I'm prepared for anything. You know, I had to wrestle the other week. I did not want to wrestle. I think that was pretty clear in that I made Mel do the entire match. But it's something that if you have to do it, I can get us there, guys. If Justin gets sick one day, I can announce the show. It's like the back of my hand. I remember, you know, how to do all of that. And thankfully, I'm still confident and comfortable to be able to fill some of these roles when I need to. And it's really nice to have a lot of people like that, like you said, on the team who've done multiple different things, because it's just so well-oiled. You really don't have to have these huge panic moments when you know that there are so many people that are prepared. So, I mean, I like to pretend to panic for a little bit just to get everybody flustered. But then, you know, I've got it. I can do it.
You know, Brandy, I know these last couple of years have probably been like a whirlwind, and so much has happened in such a short period of time for where you and Cody were 2 years ago to where everything is right now. And I'm wondering, you know, when you are a keynote speaker at, you know, something like the National Association of Television Program Executives Conference, like, is there a moment like when you're up and you're speaking like, hey, just a couple years ago, I really didn't know what direction everything was going in. And now, like, to be a part of AEW, to see it succeed like it has, selling out buildings and doing so well in the ratings and getting that contract extension, and now being a keynote speaker, I mean, have you had that moment to kind of, like, you know, understand how successful these last year or so has been for you?
Oh, man, I mean, so thankfully we've got video coming of the NatPeak speech so that everybody can kind of hear what we talked about and what that experience was like if they want to. But one of the things that absolutely is mentioned in the speech, the first thing that I say is that AEW wasn't even a concept a year and a half ago, which is crazy to think about where we are now, in that there was no such thing as AEW a year and a half ago. It's crazy. And then the other amazing thing is, you know, I couldn't help but to mention this, but The last time I used to live in Miami, and obviously, you know, I was a model there, and I think I remember very fondly my time there. But I also remember that I lived basically check to check, and everything was like a major accomplishment that I had to do there to be able to live there and try to, you know, move up in entertainment and thrive. And the last time I walked into the Fountain Blue Hotel, it was just one of the most beautiful hotels on Miami Beach. It's just really remarkable. But I was a model, and I was at an event like that as a greeter, greeting attendees, telling them, hey, here's your bag, go this way, wow, have a good time. That was less than 8 years ago, and now here I am up on a stage being the keynote for one of these events. It was really just surreal and tremendous, and just such a testament to just keep working and keep dreaming, and you never know where you're going to get.
It's awesome.
I just posted something similar to that, where you keep on trying. I remember I just posted Rikishi when he was part of the Head Shrinkers. He did a dive onto a wrestler on the floor, and they got so mad in gorilla position because he did that such a big move that they canceled the next match. And that next match was my tryout. And I was so dejected and so down, and just like I wanted, like you said, I went outside and I cried. And I was like, I'm never going to make it. And then the very next day I had a match. It was good. And then, WWE offers me a contract here. That's inspiring to anybody, male or female, that you were just a greeter. And now you're the one being the keynote speaker. I love stories like that. Congratulations. That is, and I know your family's super proud, but that is when you sit back and I never got to do it, and I do it now, but when you sit back and you say, wow, I accomplished that, I accomplished this, it's like, what do they say, sit back and smell the roses?
Yeah.
That's something.
That's why, I mean,
I'm serious. It's something to just be like, wow, I can't believe that happened, because I was just watching television the other day, and I saw Shaq, Charles Barkley, and another guy, and I was like, I've hung out with all three of those guys, and like, I didn't appreciate that I'm hanging out with these guys as opposed to when I should have.
And that's something too, Brandy, and I'm sure you have, but like, I always try to do that as well when there's a major accomplishment, to just take a step back and kind of, you know, look around and understand how significant that moment is, because if you don't, it goes right by and you just go in to the next series of accomplishments. So if you haven't, I hope you do that for yourself, just to take a step back and understand how successful these last 18 months have been for you.
Oh man, I'm thanking my lucky stars every day that so many things have just come together the way that they have. And so much of it is just timing and just being patient, but also sticking to your values and your goals, because, you know, in this day and age, it's hard to give up a job for anyone, mm-hmm. No matter what the challenges are, or how much they're making or whatever. It's very hard to give up work, because work is important and work is good, to just say, you know what, I just need more, or I'm just not satisfied. I think I can do better than this. I think I can do more than this. And it's a heck of a leap of faith, especially when, you know, two people in a two-person household do it at the same time. I would not recommend that, but that's what we did. And it can be really scary jumping out on faith like that. But then when you keep the faith and you see what happens after, like you said, 18 months, it's incredible. None of this would be happening had that leap of faith never happened.
Absolutely. Man, I'm getting chills because I've lived this too. I remember I always say you can't put a price tag on happiness. And, you know, you've obviously found it. You've also found it with the man you love, and you guys are, you know, going at it together, which is awesome. I got two things for you. What are your personal goals for 2020? As well as, is there any women out there on the indies or that you would love to see in AEW?
Oh man. Well, I'll start with me. So personally for 2020, I would love to just keep contouring some of these exceptional partnerships that we've come across that have made such huge differences for people, like Culture City, like Dreams Come True, I know that we have more in store that we're going to be doing with Special Olympics. We're probably going to do another activation with them when we're at Wintrust. But I just want to continue to keep our doors open and our minds open as far as who we work with and how they have an impact on our fans. And as far as women go, oh man, there's so many talent. You know, the greatest thing in the world is independent wrestling. There's never a shortage of people. There's like every day you learn about another one and you're like, wow, where has this person been? They're fantastic. There are a lot of fantastic women out there. I dare not say any individual name because if I do, they get signed by other people.
Oh yeah, trust me, I lived it.
So I'll wait, but I will say that we definitely have a lot of like really great women that we're looking at, and one of the great things that we've been able to do as we've been traveling is kind of we do like little training sessions a lot of times before shows, and sometimes we can invite some of these women to come in and train with Dustin and Kia, and it's been really cool to do that and just discover a lot of new women. So hopefully we're going to continue to do that as we travel around. And hopefully we'll be bringing some new ladies on board sooner than later.
And if you want to also talk about history, and we'll talk about this weekend with NWA Power is going on tomorrow.
Tonight.
We have the NXT show. We have the Royal Rumble. All that and all those people there are all pretty much from the tree of one American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. And if you want to talk about the only time, the first time the NWA ever came during their territories and went after WWE or rivaled it was when, and the main event was Ric Flair versus Dusty Rhodes when they came to New Jersey and AEW's coming to Newark and the American Dream keeps on shining. And
yep.
I love that stuff because I love him.
It's true. I was there when Flair and Dusty wrestled at the Meadowlands in New Jersey.
He's just sitting back and smiling and super duper proud of Cody and you and his son. I love it. I love stuff like that. I'm getting very emotional on this show.
This ended up being one of the emotional episodes.
Yeah, this is when this show ends, we're not going to have any background music. It's going to be silent credits when this show is over.
No, we play Midnight Rider.
Maybe we can do a new thing where I turn into kind of a little bit like Oprah, where I can just be like, you get a ticket and you get a ticket, and then everybody's excited and not crying.
Well, Dave LaGreca will be the first to ask for tickets, and just give him a backstage pass because AEW, when they come to Newark, it's going to sell out. You guys better get on your computer machines there and press that button.
Yes,
real quick.
Get on your computer machine, as Tommy said. Go to AllElitewrestling.com for all event information. As Tommy mentioned, AEW Dynamite's going to be in Newark, New Jersey. Tickets go on sale as soon as this show ends, Tommy, at noon Eastern. So go to your computer machine and make sure you get tickets for what's taking place on March 25th, 2020. Brandy, you know, my wife didn't know anything about pro wrestling until she met me. Obviously now it's part of her world because it is my world doing this show 5 days a week live. Cody was good enough to come on the show last week, and I don't know if you heard the interview that we did last week with Cody. It was myself and Mark Henry, and Cody's been a little annoyed with me personally. Because
I know. I saw what your name is in the phone now. So,
big heat.
That's a big heat in the Rhodes house. We're going to have to overcome.
But it's unfounded because, first of all, listen, just like AEW fans, the Busted Open Nation is very loyal. So when they go to live events, they carry my fat head. And my fat head has been very prominent. Actually, Brandy, unlike you, the LaGreca head was on the Jericho cruise. And that was seen on TV.
I feel like that's a personal dig. Are you also one of these people who thinks that my passport was not stolen?
Well, no. Sometimes you need a break.
Do you think she would miss a cruise? Of all things, she would miss a cruise.
Exactly. No, I actually, it's that moment where you feel like you're on top of the world for a while, and you know you're this important person, and you're walking around with security and all that cool stuff, and then you got to go reapply for a passport that's been stolen, and then you just realize, you know, you're just a normal person, and you're in line with like 20 other people, all like on their lunch break trying to make this happen, and oh, it's just the worst. But new passport's on the way. Should be here in a couple weeks. I did do the expedited thingamadoohickey, whatever you call that. Yeah, so, yeah, no, it honestly, I did find it kind of funny that people thought that I lied, that I said that because I didn't want to go on the cruise. The cruise was cool. It looked really cool. I actually watched the show for the very first time from a hotel room because I'm always there. I've never done that before. So it was really cool to see it. It looked really good. And I'm kind of jealous. So I will definitely be there next year.
No, and listen, that's happened to me. I didn't. I just completely lost my passport and I couldn't get on the plane and I was working and it was embarrassing and it's terrible. But anyway, Cody said that he was going to ban my fatheads if I didn't watch The Mandalorian. Which I wound up doing on Friday after our interview. I watched The Mandalorian. He gave me a timetable. Like, I had to watch it that night, and I watched it. Now, I'm not the biggest Star Wars fan, I do admit. Now, I'm wondering now, Cody is obsessed with Star Wars and the family movies. Is that something that you like as well, or you just pretend to like it because of Cody?
Oh, well, you do know what my name on Twitter is, right?
It's Brandalorian, yeah.
So I'm an authentic fan, definitely. I actually was not super into Star Wars until we started dating. I was always lightly into it, as it seemed, you know, some of the movies. And I love movies, so you're going to be hard-pressed to find something that I don't want to watch. But then when I found that, you know, Cody had such a huge love for it, I was like, okay, let's do the deeper dive, and now I completely, fully understand. So I'm on the same level with him. I'm wild with it. But now I got another thing that I have to ask you, since you were behind on Mandalorian.
I'm not. Wait. I am not behind on Picard.
Okay, all right. That's what I was going to say.
So I am all about Picard.
Better watch Picard. Okay. You're going to be on time with that one. Like, you're gonna stay up on it.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
Okay.
I'm all about it.
Okay.
And with regard to your fathead, I'll tell you, for Christmas, I got pillows for my daughters in shapes of our dogs, and they sleep with them. And so I think for Pharaoh, maybe they get a plush toy of your stupid fat head, and he could either go to the bathroom on it or bite it and tear it up, and they could show it like Cody does when he shows the video surveillance when they're not home, because I love that. And so maybe that's what we
exactly
do with your fat head. See?
That's
and now
exactly
we're thinking smart. Those stupid fat heads. I hate them.
Why do you hate my fat head? It's a representation of the show, Tommy.
Okay, great. That would be a representation of you.
You're jealous.
Yes,
I'm jealous. Because I don't see anybody with Tommy Dreamer fat heads at any of the shows.
Because my head is fat, so is my ass.
Now somebody's got to get a Tommy Dreamer fat head, and then we'll see how you feel about it.
You know what it is that if you had a Tommy Dreamer fat head, it would take three people to carry it, for crying out loud.
My head is gigantic.
Man, this went from like an emotional show to a very personal show. Like, I got attacked. Tommy's getting attacked. What's happening?
I don't know. I blame you. Anyway, thank you so much for coming on again, Brandi Roach, Chief Brandi Officer. Congratulations on all the success with AEW. And again, for all ticket information for any AEW Dynamite shows, go to allelitewrestling.com, and I'll see everybody in Newark, New Jersey on March 25th. Brandi, thank you so much for the time today.
Oh, thank you so much, guys. Everybody make sure to get those tickets and tweet me what you got. I love seeing when people, you know, get the tickets that they want. So tweet me what you end up with.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
And joining us now is the true world heavyweight champion, your NWA champion, the one and only Nick Aldis. Nick, how are you today?
If you ever take a trip down to Cobb County, Georgia, you better read the sign, respect the law and order, use of hard times.
Nice.
That's
Yeah. Two seven hard times tonight, boys.
I can't wait for tonight, Tommy. Yeah, you psyched?
I'm psyched just for the – he should sing that intro.
We are right down the road from Cobb County, Georgia. My son can't wait. I can't wait. It's a family affair, boys. Hard times live tonight on Fight TV pay-per-view.
Now, Nick, things have changed with you since the last time we've spoke here on Busted Open. But before all that, there is some breaking news. It is now reported that Nick Aldis, your NWA World Heavyweight Champion, will be a part of Supercard of Honor with the Ring of Honor in Lakeland, Florida. So there is definitely a lot going on, Nick, between the NWA and ROH.
Yes, indeed. Yes, I saw they made the announcement public today. Dotting the I's and crossing the T's and making all that happen. And very, very excited to be part of Supercard of Honor.
And I am very excited about the main event tonight, you and Flip Gordon. And, man, I mean, we talk about this all the time, every time we have you on, about what a great representation you are with the NWA. But also, too, when it comes to you, Nick, just a great representation for pro wrestling. And the NWA seems to be on the tip of every pro wrestling fan's tongue right now in 2020.
Yeah, and you know, we have been blown away by the support and by the just, you know, the overwhelming positivity towards the product. And I think that, you know, we obviously, you take everything with a grain of salt, good and bad, and we try to keep an open mind, and we try to stay open to criticism and, you know, to constructive or otherwise. But, you know, ultimately when you get endorsements from the likes of Edge and The Rock and, you know, the various different sort of real, you know, legends of our business, real luminaries, it's encouraging and shows that we're on the right path. And, you know, there's not that many shows out there and not that many characters out there like me who at this point can unite the opinions of some of the most polarizing figures in the business, like Jim Cornette, Vince Russo, Eric Bischoff. You know, they can't agree on what to order for lunch with each other, but they can all agree that they like the NWA and they like the National Treasure. So what does that tell you?
That you're over, brother.
Brother.
Tonight you're facing Flip Gordon. Have you ever wrestled Flip before?
Yes, I have. It's we actually had a real good one in Nashville in the summer of 2018, right before All In. People who were following the angle at the time would know that Flip was trying to get booked for All In, and then his last chance was to see if he could beat me for the World Championship. And you know, look, I'm the first one to admit that he had a real good showing that night, and he showed me something. But you know, I understand that now he's a different guy than he was then. You know, he was very much a sort of underling to the Young Bucks and Cody Rhodes then, and was kind of an apprentice, if you will. And now he's the mercenary, and now he's found himself. He's got more of an edge. You know, he's been in the gym. He's built up his body, and he's definitely got more of an aggressive attitude about his approach to the ring. So, you know, there's a lot of new variables tonight. We're two different people. And, of course, you know, at that point, I was still the National Treasure and the real world champion, but now I'm the greatest NWA world champion of the modern era, you know? So we've both really, really progressed since 2018, and this one's going to be a barn burner.
I think, potential, yes, fabulous match. Both guys, when you talk about Flip, it's confidence and it's more reps doing
what we do and, you know, having quality opponents and you being one of the best, of it should be a fabulous match. Is there a match on the card that you, besides your own, really want to think could be a show stealer or have some other interest in?
I think there's a great deal of anticipation for the Women's World Championship match. I think Thunder Rosa at this point has proven that she has, you know, she has earned her reputation as one of the most compelling characters in all of pro wrestling. And Allison Kay's done a fabulous job as the torchbearer for the women's division of the NWA. A lot of what you see right now in the current NWA has been built on the back of myself and AK. So I think that, you know, you've got this irresistible force and immovable object, and that is booking 101, boys.
We're here with the national treasure, Nick Aldis. Again, Hard Times, available on Fight TV. Really looking forward to watching that on Fight, as I do with all the NWA pay-per-views, and that's tonight, the main event, Nick Aldis against Flip Gordon. And you mentioned that Flip Gordon, completely different attitude change. He's a part of Villain Enterprises. And, you know, before we even get into what's could take place tonight, let's look back at what took place this past Tuesday, a 90-minute episode of NWA Power. You're in the ring with one of the legends in Ricky Morton. Ricky Morton, that doesn't show any sign of age at the age of 63. Talk about that matchup that we just saw this past Tuesday.
I made an Instagram post about this and a social media post. While I'm certainly not in the market to insult anyone's intelligence, I wanted to put bravado aside for a minute and basically explain the significance of that match to me. And, I liken it to, an actor who might say, okay, my movie philosophy is one for them and one for me. Well, this one was for me. You know, there are obviously always going to be differing opinions on, who deserves a world championship match and the logic behind it and all those different things. But ultimately, we get presented every now and then in this business with unique opportunities to do something that, you know, we thought was previously impossible. And for me to have a one-on-one with one of the greatest of all time, I mean, that's like I said in my post, it's like a musician getting to play with Bob Dylan, you know, or it's like a golfer getting the opportunity to play 18 holes with Arnold Palmer. You know, I was just like, I want Ricky Morton. Give me Ricky Morton, you know, and that was, I was very proud of the match. I was very, just really pleased that it was so well received and that, he's such a pro, you know, it's like that there is what I've tried to achieve as the world's champion is to be able to be the constant, right? Like I want to be able to for people to look back at my various championship defenses and be like, there's a range of opponents here. He doesn't need to have a certain guy in there. He can wrestle anyone and make it the true main event. I mean, when you, if you survey our fans, I would bet that for the most part, they're going to say that their favorite championship defenses of mine are going to be Cody, Marty, and Tim Storm, you know, and you're talking about three completely different styles, completely different ages, you know, backgrounds, everything. And the one constant is me, and I take great pride in that. And the same goes for the match with Ricky.
I remember Ricky's feud with Ric Flair for the title, and it was off the charts where you really saw Ricky Morton become a singles star and the greatness of Ricky Morton. And yeah, man, and I always say this is the only sport where we can wrestle and work with our idols. You know, Derek Jeter can't play baseball anymore against a current star, but in our in our generation, in our wrestling, we can do that. And that match was, you know, when you have matches like that, that's sick. And we were just talking about that before, where you can say, wow, I had a great match with Ricky Morton. Like, you know, how awesome does that feel? Because when you're a fan, it's different than when you enter that, as opposed to, you know, other things where you're just like, yeah, I had an okay match with this person, but then you tear it up with Ricky.
100%. And you know, in your career, you have all these ideas of what you think you might want to achieve and what you might be able to do. And, you know, and then you have this other, or at least I do, I don't know if you're the same, but you have this other box in your mind of like, well, that, you know, that's a what if, you know what I mean? Like, that's a, you know, you're not going to hold on to it too hard because because the chances are it's not likely to happen, but you think, God, if that opportunity ever comes up. And for me, you know, Ricky Morton was one of those, Sting was one of those, you know, and I've been very blessed in my career to get to share the ring with some of my true idols and true greats of our industry. Despite the fact that, you know, obviously it's no secret that at other times in my career I've sort of suffered some setbacks and some disappointments with, you know, with not going to WWE and different things like that. And it's like I've been able to, you know, everything has fed this point. You know what I mean? Everything has come together, and I believe everything happens for a reason. And I believe that I'm exactly where I need to be right now.
And you know, for yourself, Nick, you're more than just a champion of the NWA. You're an ambassador for the NWA. You're the face of the NWA right now. And I know you want this to succeed more than anybody else. And when I look at the matches that are going to take place tonight at Hard Times pay-per-view available on Fight TV, I look at it, you have to be not only proud but impressed by the roster that is now a part of this brand.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, again, not trying to, you know, pull the wool over anyone's eyes. You know, it's no secret that I've been heavily involved in the process, you know, with this thing. I hold this place very dear to my heart. You know, it's like, but at the same time, you know, we maintain some separation of church and state, you know, and that's healthy. But obviously, in the overall sort of philosophical direction of the company, you know, I have a great deal of influence, and it's really gratifying to me to see certain guys that I really sort of went out on a limb for, like Ricky Starks, you know, just blossoming into these, you know, elite level performers. And tonight's a big chance. Trevor Murdoch, you know, just like just these guys who in the back of my mind, you know, we thought there's more there. There's something, you know, God, if we could just get something out, if we could just do this, just do that. And we've been able to do it. And that's a testament to every single person who's contributed to this brand and this company, and to our fans who have from day one just been the 12th man, or from day one of power. You know, like they just had this mentality where it's like they arrived in Atlanta and they said, we're going to be the right type of fans. We're going to be part of this in the absolute best way possible. And they have. And it's like, I did Vicky Guerrero's podcast the other day, and it was great. And she's such a, you know, she's such a sweetheart, and we have such a good conversation about it. But I said, you know, you can have big, elaborate, multi-million dollar sets. You can have these big self-indulgent entrances with, you know, the different special effects and whatnot. But at the end of the day, you can't fake a connection with the audience. You know, when I walk out on the set of Power, and like we can't even start speaking for a minute and a half because those people are just rabid and just giving me everything they've got, like, that's great TV, right? Like, and you can't fake that. And when you're watching that, it does something to you as a viewer. You go, cool, this is something special. And that's what we have, and that's what we're going to fight really hard to protect and preserve.
Is there any way that, you know, you and I are friends, I'm friends with Billy, is there any way that you can hand Scott Steiner a live microphone? maybe have him do some Steiner math part two?
Let me just say this. I have been privy to a concept involving our good friend Scotty, that I think is going to satisfy your needs.
Nice.
Watch this space.
I love Scott Steiner.
Oh man, isn't he the best? You know, like I said in the promo, you know, like that's another thing about our show is that, you know, we we've talked about, you know, from the and again, you guys, you know, I know that I give you guys crap, and but we know deep down that like the Busted Open NWA relationship is real, and you know, you guys from day one have really gone out of your way to boost our credibility and our visibility in the marketplace, and we appreciate that. But you know, we've talked about it from the beginning, like authenticity. You know, we don't obviously, yeah, it's pro wrestling, right? Like everything's going to be embellished and over the top and outrageous, but if you know, there has to be kernels of truth. And so like for the Scott Steiner promo, for example, when I teed him up, you know, he didn't know what I was going to say, but I was telling the truth. You know, when I first came to this country, like, I was warned about Kevin Nash and Scott Steiner and, oh, you got to watch out for these guys, you know, because of WCW and blah, blah, blah. And it is a false narrative. You know, right. Like those guys went out of their way to nurture me and help me. You know, like, Kev took me aside, like, from the beginning and was just like, hey, listen, you shouldn't have sold that for a guy. You should have gobbled him up. You know, like, he's just like, this is business, yeah?
That's actually pretty good.
And I just went like, whoa, okay, you know, and just like, here's what time it is, you know, and I got, and Steiner, same thing, like, he's unapproachable if you're a dork, and if you get it and you carry yourself well, he's going to be like, yeah, cool, let's do something. And he's gone out of his way to help me ever since. And he's a great performer in his own right. And it's like what we've been able to do with the NWA power set and that, you know, that podium is one of the most valuable tools to any performer in our business right now, because it's one of the only places where you can go and showcase who you are as a commodity to the world with no filter whatsoever. And Scott Steiner's living proof. I'm living proof. You know, Ricky Starks, Trevor Murdoch, Thunder Rosa, all these guys, living proof. Tim Storm, a guy no one had heard of 2 years ago, living proof, the hottest babyface in the NWA right now.
And it's even some of the talent that, like, is really starting to get known now that, like, we've talked about here on this show, Tommy, like Atasha Steeles, who, like, never really got the opportunity, and nobody knows her name, now getting that opportunity, and she's getting valuable face time in the ring. And, like Nick just said, that podium means everything. You know, it's the podium when you were watching World Championship Wrestling and Georgia Championship Wrestling, you know, with Gordon Soley holding that microphone where Ric Flair would hold court every single Saturday. You're seeing that now every Tuesday at 6:05.
Absolutely. You have, and I always say this, any championship team in any sport has their mix of veterans, guys in their prime, and rookies or up-and-comers that are going to help carry a team. Mm. And that's what NWA Power and tonight's show is all about.
And Nick, like you mentioned about like our relationship here with Busted Open and the NWA, I'll admit, like, those three letters mean the world to me as a old school pro wrestling fan. And that carries you to the first or maybe second show. But I think what you guys have been able to accomplish since then is that you've hooked people in. And I have my clique of friends that we text back and forth every Tuesday at 6:05. You know, Jonathan Hood, who's a host in Chicago for ESPN, Snake Sabo, who's the guitar player for Skid Row. Every single Tuesday, we're texting back and forth with each other about you and about Trevor Murdoch and, of course, about the question mark. The nostalgia only takes you so far. You've been able to take it the rest of the way. And I heard you say, oh, my God, under your breath. I mean, did you ever see the question mark coming?
Oh, my God. No, I did not. And, you know, what a phenom that whole thing has become, you know, just and again, just is a testament to our fans, you know, like they wanted to embrace and latch on to unique characters that they felt were theirs and theirs alone. And that's, you know, again, it's like when, you know, sometimes there's the occasional eye roll for a return of a Scott Steiner or people like that. But it's like, it's just business, right? It's like, hopefully, if some new viewers, they come for Scott Steiner and they stay for the rest, you know, like when they see the rest of that show, we've really worked hard, all of us, to make sure that there's no filler on our show ever. You know, like there's no segment that we think, oh, we'll pad this out a bit and we'll get through it. No, like guys have got to fight to get their spot on our show because it's a murderer's row when it comes, especially when it comes to verbal skills. I mean, golly. Myself, Tim Storm, Eli Drake, James Storm, Aaron Stevens. You know what I mean? You're talking about any one of those guys can carry a 5, 10, 15-minute segment verbally. And it's like, so all these new guys that are coming in and these new characters that are being developed, they got to step up. You know, like they got to know what time it is because they're going to go, okay, you're going to get one at bat. And if you don't hit at least a double, like it might be a while before you get another one. You know, and that's the energy that we have on our show, man. It's like this, it's this real thing of like, okay, can you top this? But not in a not in a selfish way, in the most productive way.
That was what we had in ECW. It was more top this as a team as opposed to top this trying to slit the other guy's throat.
Right, right. Absolutely. Not like, oh, I'm going to, you know, disrespect like the main event. No, everyone's going to go and play their part on the show, but to the absolute best of their ability and try to steal the scene for themselves. And that's absolutely like the energy that we encourage. And it's like, that's where, you know, it's just every time I love when new talents show up because, again, unlike a lot of other places where everyone suddenly hunkers down and gets all protective, like I love when new talents come in because I love watching them see like, oh my God, this energy is unreal. Like the first time they walk out, I love being there when they come back because then they come back, you see them just going like, wow, you know, like unbelievable. Like we've got something really magic there at GPB.
Since it is old school NWA, does question mark shower with his mask on, brother?
I've never seen him without his mask, so I can only assume that that's the case.
And I would like to go on record because a lot of people have said it. I am not the question mark, and I don't want like when people send me similar body type photos. Just letting you know.
You're not the Mongrovian karate man.
That is my spoiler. That is not me under the mask.
Also, great seeing Melina back and being a part of the NWA as well, Nick.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. She's someone who I felt had a lot of gas in the tank, you know, and she has qualities that you can't teach in people, you know, just this ability to, with her facials and her mannerisms and her energy to be able to really, you know, create compelling scenes. And that's what we're all about. And honestly, the sky's the limit with her. And like, we haven't even scratched the surface of what she can accomplish here in the NWA because she's still figuring out that like, oh, I can be myself. You know, I can be 100% authentic here. Like, there's still a little bit of hesitation I see in her where she's still sort of in that kind of WWE mentality of trying to stay within parameters. And we're going, no, man, like, let the horse out of the barn. Like, go for it, you know? And it's coming. And you see that in a lot of guys. And, you know, when you get that freedom with direction, like, sky's the limit.
Into the Fire, the last pay-per-view, you had that holy shit moment at the end when Marty Scurll came out. Obviously, you have that personal relationship with Marty Scurll, and it's, I think, great that you guys now have that relationship with Ring of Honor. And what's the future with Marty Scurll and the NWA?
Well, you talk about the relationship with Ring of Honor. I think the dynamic has shifted. You know, I think that the major difference now is that, you know, a lot of people would argue that Ring of Honor kind of need us. Mm. You know, we're the hot ticket. You know, we're the ones with the energy. We're the ones with the buzz. And you know, as Tommy will tell you, anyone who's been in the business for more than a few years will tell you, like, buzz is the most difficult currency, you know, to trade. And it's like, because like once you have it, you have to hold on to it as long as you can. And you know, Ring of Honor had a tumultuous year, but as far as Marty goes, like basically what you're witnessing now, I believe by the end of this year, you're going to look back at all the things that we're setting in motion now and go, that really fundamentally changed the industry, because we're going to kick down these supposed barriers between promotions. And, you know, ultimately, we're putting the fans first. I know it's like a silly, like cliche thing to say and be like, oh, but look, I'm business. Yeah. So is Marty. I mean, big money Marty. I mean, talk about like, you know, this guy's all business and I'm proud of him. You know, it's just, he's just trying to muscle in on my turf right now. But hey, it's going to bring out the best in me. I'm all for it. But the reality is that we're going to show people like, hey, it would be great if all of the best wrestlers in the world and all of the best talents could all be under the same umbrella and all be in the same way. But you can't. The economics don't work. And at the end of the day, it's not gonna provide you with what you want, because you're always gonna be disappointed with how some of them are being presented. So the best guys have to go and lead the charge in their own little fiefdoms. And that's what we've got now. Marty at Ring of Honor, myself at the NWA. You know, you've got the guys like Jay White and people like the top guys in New Japan. And you're going to have this situation where over time, people are going to go, man, I want to see Nick Aldis versus Okada. You know, I want to see Marty Scurll versus this guy. Like, I want to see PCO versus Trevor Murdoch. I want to see, you know, and it's like, the and once they realize that the only thing preventing that from happening is the actual companies themselves, once we prove that it can be done, like, the demand will be there and the audience will say, okay, give us what we want. And it will force everyone else to come to the table and do the same thing.
Well, Nick, thank you so much for the time. I mean, we're only 7 hours and 34 minutes away from NWA Hard Times. You can see the pay-per-view for only $19.99. Go to fight.tv for all the information. Of course, the main event, your national treasure, the real world champion, Nick Aldis, going up against Villain Enterprises, Flip Gordon. Nick, thank you so much for the time.
And watch out, or you'll be serving hard times. Yes. Thank you, gentlemen. Hard Times tonight, live on fight.tv. Check it out. It's a hell of a card. And, of course, headlined by the one constant in professional wrestling, the Crown Jewel, the real world champion.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.